The New York Times says it made mistakes when it reported on weapons of mass destruction inside Iraq. In an unusual editorial, the nation's most influential newspaper reviewed its own coverage from the months before the war. The Times found that reporters and editors relied too heavily on Iraqi defectors and U.S. government officials who had an interest in promoting a war. The paper says its staff overplayed the evidence in front-page headlines and buried their doubts deep inside the paper. This morning, the Times editors declined to speak with us, saying the editorial speaks for itself. To talk a little more about it, we've called Tom Rosensteel, who's director of the Project for Excellence in Journalism at the Pew Center. Good morning.
Good morning.
What did the Times do wrong here?
Well, I don't think it did anything wrong today. what they've tried to do is respond to criticisms now that one of their... Now that there's been more information about particularly one of their key sources, Mr. Chalabi, and to make a clean, to clean the slate with the public about how they feel about their reporting.
Ahmed Chalabi, that's the Iraqi exile who was paid hundreds of thousands of dollars at a time for intelligence information and other assistance by the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking here at the Times editorial, and it refers to a story on September 8, 2002. The headline was, U.S. says Hussein intensified quest for A-bomb parts, and it focused on some aluminum tubes that might or might not have been used in the enhancement of uranium. 5 days later, the Times says that it realized that maybe these tubes were not being used for uranium, but that piece of information got buried deep in the A section of the paper. Is this a common practice where the mistake is on page one and the correction is not really even a correction and it's very hard to find?
Well, I mean, people often claim that that's the case, although in the instance you're describing, it's not a correction. It's a second story. Part of what was going on here was the internal war inside the New York Times. You had some reporters adopting the point of view of certain sources that were more provocative, that were more hawkish, and who were favored by Hal Raines when he was editor of the paper. There were reporters on the paper at the time who were raising serious doubts. There was particularly other reporters in Iraq, and there were internal email exchanges that were quite heated, some of which have become public, and one of the reasons that one of the tensions that Mr. Raines was suffering from inside the paper was the feeling among some staffers that he was favoring reporters who wrote provocative stories, even if the stories weren't checked out. I mean, in many ways, the Jason Blair scandal was powerful because it was a symptom of larger other things going inside the Times.
We just got a moment left here, but I want to ask about one thing very quickly. The Times, I know, was prompted to publish what we should properly call an editor's note after being criticized in other media. I know there was also a University of Maryland study which documented some of the problems. But looking back, how influential do you think the Times coverage was in the run-up to the war?
Oh, I think enormously. I mean, for one thing, the paper is considered by the Bush administration to be a liberal paper, rightly or wrongly. The paper is considered journalistically to be the paper of record. In other words, the paper that may not always be the fastest off the mark, but is the most reliable. If you read it there, it was fit to print. It was verified. The fact that these things turned out not to be verified is pretty damaging, and the fact that they've come clean today, I think, is part of the new New York Times under Bill Keller.
Tom, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
We've been talking to Tom Rosensteel. He's the director for the Project for Excellence in Journalism at the Pew Center here in Washington.